Hi everyone, my name is Pedro Maceo, and this is the X Factor Safety Podcast. This show will dive into the daily tactics, techniques, and practices of everyday safety pros, from industry leaders and beyond. We will find out what their X Factor is. Welcome back to the show, everybody. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the OSHA Quick Takes newsletter and the overall website of OSHA. Quick Takes newsletter, it's a newsletter that you get twice a month. Whenever you go to the OSHA.gov site, you input your email address and you subscribe to the newsletter, and they send it to you twice a month, and you stay updated on what's happening in, you know, your industry and other industries across the board. So it's very informative. It's a very good tool to use. Some of the stuff on here can end up being your next safety talk or your next toolbox talk that you talk about whenever you have, you know, your safety meetings. So I'm looking at the quick takes from January 16th, which is yesterday. And, you know, first they show you the OSHA penalties and how they're going to reflect the price of inflation. So for a serious or other than serious posting requirements, it is a $13,494 penalty per violation. Failure to abate, same thing, it's $13,494 per day beyond abatement date. And then a willful or repeated, that's where it gets big. $134,937 per violation. Now, granted, you know, some state plans operate their own OSHA. Like, I know I lived in Virginia, and in Virginia, it's a state plan. It's VOSH. So they end up adopting the maximum penalty levels, and doing that, they are able to put the max on all their violations because it is a state-run plan. So that's just the first little snippet of these quick take newsletters. Then it goes on into federal worker safety. What kind of initiatives is the White House and our government looking to do to protect federal workers from occupational injuries? They give you some standard clarification. What's being corrected for the standards? Because again, our standard, the 1926, 1910, your maritime, your MSHA, all of that stuff ends up having standards and they have to be corrected. Some of them have to be tailored because some of them are very old and, you know, new stuff has to get updated. Just like when you update your phone ever so often, well, you know, they're ever changing and are always updating our OSHA standards and regulations. On this issue of the quick takes, they actually go into the walk-in working surfaces, PPE, and special industry standards. And then right after that, you have your injury reporting, our OSHA 300 logs, which we're fixing to have to put up come February 1st. So you need to get those submitted. If you don't know how to submit them electronically, they have a tutorial on the OSHA.gov website for you to look at and, you know, go ahead and upload your OSHA 300 logs. Talking about the OSHA leadership, who is getting advancements, who's being placed in what different regions and administrator positions. And then they go into some of the small business improvements and that's happening in small business in regards to safety. People that are joining those programs, your SHARP, your VPP type programs, utilizing those consultation programs that OSHA offers. And these consultation programs, believe it or not, and I know I'm straying away from the quick takes, but these programs are really, really good. They come onto your site and, you know, they're not like compliance officers. These safety professionals that come in your site and they evaluate your site for compliance, but then they also are evaluating worker behavior. They're evaluating your programs, policies, and procedures that you have in place at your workplace or your job site. And then they make recommendations. So it's kind of like a free consultant, if you will, if you want to be part of these SHARP and VPP type programs. And doing that, again, it's no cost to you or your company, and it's all confidential, and they come in and they help you out. They help you stay compliant. So why wouldn't you want to grasp on some of this, you know, free knowledge and consultation to get your job site workplace up to par? Check it out. It's on the website, you know, OSHA.gov, you know, /consultation. It'll take you right there. It'll take you to the page where you find the different types of programs that they have, what kind of resources are there, what are the economic benefits. And economic benefits, that's good to know when you're trying to sell these types of programs to your upper executive management. It definitely helps them understand, okay, well, we're going to do and spend all this money on safety, and we're going to make it economical for our company to keep our people safe. And, you know, it's a win-win for all. Check out that information. It's definitely some good topics and discussions you can have with your management team and figure out if it's something, you know, a route that you want to go into. So back to the quick takes. You know, and then you scroll down some more and you end up finding, you know, the court sentencing and what violations are happening in which state. Usually they post, you know, because it's all public knowledge of the violations and what's happening. It's all public knowledge. You know, contractor found in contempt of court, failing to pay more than $2.2 million in OSHA penalties. So again, all of this is on their quick takes. This is what you get sent to your email. Like, there's a roofing company in Florida that just faced $291,724 in penalties for repeatedly exposing workers to fall hazards. In Georgia, there was a manufacturer that was fined $195,000 for exposing workers to multiple safety hazards. And you know, the list goes on and on. They go, you know, case by case. And you could dive in more into, you know, what's happening in each state, what their penalties have been. And again, it's all public knowledge. This, you know, and it's a tool. OSHA puts this on there, one, so that way you can go use all this information to better your safety program. And two, so that way you have an idea of what other industries and, you know, like industries just like yours are doing and getting people hurt, so that way you're able to, you know, put it to use and prevent those types of injuries. And then, you know, going down it you know, they talk about the whistleblower protection, you know, some of the key social media links that they have on there, because again, they have you know, they have a Facebook, they have a LinkedIn, they got an Instagram, YouTube. And then you can go give your feedback on the quick takes. They give you, you know, the address to OSHA and the number and where to subscribe at if you want to archive this particular newsletter for information that's on it. It's definitely a good tool to use. It's definitely something that would benefit your workplace, something that will definitely help your knowledge base. If you're looking for good safety talks, good information to relay to your team, and just, you know, overall good knowledge of what's happening out there in the world of different industries. Going back to just the About OSHA website and what they end up doing on their website, it's a plethora of knowledge. There's all kinds of links and PDFs and downloads and stuff that you can use. So if you haven't navigated the OSHA website, you know, again, OSHA.gov, go to the website and just take a gander of what's there. Anywhere from industry standards, they have all the standards of interpretations, the actual law and regulations, what's open for comment. You know, under different topics, you can search employer help. If you're a worker, you can look on there and figure out what your worker rights are. They have, you know, fall prevention, heat prevention, personal protective equipment, record keeping. And this is a big one, record keeping requirements and forms. This is a big one because, you know, they published the final rule. So they view the OSHA 300 logs as data, you know, data as confidential information. So they will not release to the public, obviously, because you don't want all that information that's going on your 300 logs, who got hurt, how they got hurt, what was their injury. You don't want all that stuff out in the open. Certain things are privy to privacy, so they don't release that stuff to the public. But, how many man hours did you work? How many incidents did you have? That's all public knowledge. But looking at, the record keeping requirements, again, any employer that has 10 employees or more, they are required to report all your injuries and illnesses on the OSHA 300 logs. And it gives you everything that you can do, different types of tracking tools, different types of related document, news releases, federal registers. They even have a place where if you're in need of training and you need to find a trainer, you can actually go to the OSHA website and find an OSHA trainer to train your guys and gals on OSHA 10s and OSHA 30s. If you're trying to get your OSHA 10 or OSHA 30 or your OSHA 510 or 511, or even, become a trainer yourself and get your, your 500 or 501, you can go figure out where all of this is at on the website. They'll give you who does the outreach training, and there's a big list of people, and you can narrow it down by city and state and see who's close in your area. And if they're on the website, they usually have a number. You can contact them and they'll be able to, schedule a training, or see, you can ask when their next class is, or you can find the OTI centers where they are giving the 510 and 511s and the 500s and 501s. Also Maritime. I forgot the number for Maritime. Bad safety guy. But yeah, the education centers that you can find, and you can look by the searchable schedule to see where in the year you can take your training. Because training is important. It's definitely important to stay trained up and keep expanding your knowledge when you're trying to grow in your profession, especially being a safety professional. I'm always learning, always wanting to learn. So it's definitely one of those things that if you're willing to, take a couple of days from the norm and go sit in a classroom and gain some knowledge and, understand, like in your 510 and 511, they actually break down the standards. They actually teach you how to go through the OSHA standards books, the regulations, where to look for the letters of interpretation, how to pinpoint, your violations and where it would fall in those standards. And then after that, and you got some years under your belt, you can go get your, your trainer card, your 500, 501. And in that course, they teach you how to train. It's not so much about diving into the standards, because once you become a trainer, you should be somewhat knowledgeable of, the standards and what you need to stay in compliance. But this course actually teaches you how to train. How to train personnel, what different types of techniques you can use in the classroom, how to set up your laptop for presentations, how to keep your class engaged, and all of this stuff in there. And then they make you present. You have to present a presentation. So it's good. I became a 500 and 501 trainer for both general industry and construction. So it's definitely worth it. And luckily, when I did it, I had the same trainer, the same teacher that gave me my 501 is the same one that gave me my 500. So I knew what his requirements were. Not saying it's going to happen to you every time you're going to get the same teacher, but it helped. I knew what he had showed me for my 501, and I had been using it ever since. And then when I went to go get my 500, it was one, a little bit easier, but then two, the expectation from him to the classroom was already there, and I knew that. So I was able to help some of the other safety professionals that were in there and help them figure out how they're going to do certain things in the classroom just by knowing how his teaching style was. And everybody's different when it comes to training. Everybody's different when it becomes, when they become a trainer. Some people, you know, are very loud spoken and, you know, can get their point across just by talking to people. Some people need visual aids in order to train. Some people are really good at PowerPoint and VisMe and Prezi and all the new technologies that we have to, you know, so that way it's not death by PowerPoint. But to use those types of things to train, and everybody's style is different. Everybody's style is unique to their needs and to how they train. But just wanted to touch on mainly the quick takes, but the overall plethora of information that you can get from the OSHA website. Well, we're at the end of our show, so I hope I was able to add value to your everyday activities and essentially bring value to you. That's what we want to do here on the show. We look forward to inspiring you with new and amazing content every week, anywhere from safety insights to interviews with leaders in various industries. If you have a topic or idea that you might want to have featured on the show, or if you yourself want to be featured on the show, send an email to safetytrainer1215@gmail.com. Again, that's safetytrainer1215@gmail.com. Now, before we leave, I just want you to think about one thing and ask yourself one question. What is your X factor? Until next time.